So the pastime from Krishna Lila, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 13, entitled Lord Brahma Steals the Calves and Boys. So that is a wonderful pastime. Thought we could go over some of the aspects of that particular pastime. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srila Prabhupada translated Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was working very feverishly to finish. However, he was old. He used to say, "I'm an old man, I can die at any moment." We were all 21, 22, 23 years old. We didn't relate with that so much. I always felt that I would live forever, and Srila Prabhupada would live forever. But he was, of course, more wise, more experienced. He was dealing with a bunch of inexperienced young people. Practically the only experienced person in the movement was Srila Prabhupada. Everybody else was just a youngster. When you have a society of only youngsters, things don't always go so well. So it is amazing how Srila Prabhupada organized this bunch of youngsters, inexperienced persons, to push on a whole movement, to get his books published, etc., etc., which Srila Prabhupada felt was his most important service, was working on his books, translating Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, he felt Chaitanya Charitamrita was also important. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such an important book by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In the final days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was only reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came to America, he had his three trunks of Bhagavatams. First canto divided into first part, second part, and third part. Right? And the only other book he had with him was Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he stopped his work on the Bhagavatam to finish Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the devotees were producing these books, many different aspects, making the paintings, getting the Bengali edited, and work was going on. But Srila Prabhupada felt the work was going much too slow. He went to Los Angeles. He told the person in charge of the BBT at that time, Rameshwar. Maybe he was a Swami by then, Rameshwar Maharaj, I'm not sure. I think so, maybe. He said, "I want," and you know, like the Adi Leela Part 1 came out, then Adi Leela Part 2, and slowly the books were coming out one after another. But he said he wanted all the books finished. The rest of the Madhya Leela, the Anki Leela, everything he wanted finished in just 6 months. And when he told that to Rameshwar, Rameshwar said, well, it's impossible. And Srila Prabhupada replied, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That famous quote is there. But what was it about? It was about producing the books. Srila Prabhupada wanted to see that these books got out, and they got out quickly. So the devotees, they did. They worked night and day, making the painting, checking the Bengali, doing the proofreading. Night and day they worked. Sometimes they would fall asleep at the canvas. And Srila Prabhupada said that practically I'm whipping them. Where is book? Where is book? Actually, Gopal Krishna Maharaj was in charge of the BBT in India. And there's a conversation where Srila Prabhupada describes, Prabhupada used to call him Gopal affectionately, that every time he comes, he brings a book. The Hindi, first volume of the Hindi Bhagavatam he'd given and presented to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, he's afraid to come unless he brings one book that has been produced. So we know that Srila Prabhupada was very intent on having his books produced. Now he felt that because he was old, maybe he might not be able to finish the whole Bhagavatam. So what he did was, and this was early on in 1970, he did a summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is described as a sunam bonam, the essence. The essence of the whole Bhagavatam is 10th canto, because it's the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The first canto, second canto, and all the other cantos are to prepare one, to purify one's consciousness, so that one can come to understand the subject matter in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such an important subject matter. Well, Srila Prabhupada's fears came to pass, and he was working on the 10th canto, but actually he passed away before he could finish. and the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated was this 13th chapter from the 10th canto about Lord Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys. There is a movie by Yadubar where you can see that the devotees are there with the microphone and Srila Prabhupada's laying on the bed very weak. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was so weak that he couldn't sit up because for months he hadn't eaten anything. He didn't eat anything. And he was just basically skin and bones. But yet he was still translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you read these purports, how clear and how exact and how authoritative they are. So Srila Prabhupada was completely beyond the condition of his material form. Of course, the form of the spiritual master is not material in the sense that it's totally engaged in the service of Krishna. But in such condition, still Srila Prabhupada was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And the last thing that he translated was this 13th chapter from the 10th canto. So, Krishna and the cowherd, Krishna had just killed the Agasura demon. And he and the cowherd boys were in the forest. And at the end of the 12th chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. He asked, why did the cowherd boys wait 1 year to tell about the killing of the Agasura demon? Sukadeva Goswami said, after 1 year, the cowherd boys informed their mothers and fathers how Krishna had killed the Agasura demon. So Maharaj Parikshit wanted to know, why did they wait 1 year? By this question, Sukadeva Goswami became very encouraged. He said that your questions are making this recitation of the Bhagavatam ever and ever enlivening, increasing. Devotees of the Lord are enlivened by hearing topics of the personality of Godhead. They're enlivened by that. They become happy to hear about Krishna's pastimes. Just like the materialists become happy to hear about women and sex life. That's how they get enlivened. However, the devotees of the Lord like to hear about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. They become enlivened by that. And Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that these topics are very confidential. Very, very confidential. But still, it's the duty of the spiritual master to reveal confidential topics about the Supreme Lord because of the sincerity to hear of the disciple. So the qualification for hearing is to be enthusiastic or inquisitive or eager to hear. Devotional service begins by hearing and chanting. So one devotee speaks, the other devotees hear, and that is the formula for making progress in devotional service. So after saving the boys from the mouth of Agasura, Krishna brought them all to the banks of the Jamuna. Lord Krishna's idea was the boys had become a little worked up. They had gone into the mouth of Agasura and he tried to kill them all. And Krishna also entered and he had to kill Agasura. So just to settle them all down after that incident, he brought them to the Jamuna. And they allowed the cows to drink the water, the crystal clear waters of the Jamuna. And the Jamuna was filled with lotus flowers, blooming lotus flowers, different colors. And Krishna began to glorify the spot. He said, just see how there are nice trees here with nice flowers and how soft the sand is along here, along the banks of the Jamuna. Krishna said, this looks like a nice place for us to sit down and eat our lunch. So the cowherd boy said, yes. And Krishna said, yeah, it's getting late. The sun is high in the sky, means it's noontime, lunchtime. So they said, yes, let's have lunch. So the boys went and collected leaves and flowers and the bark of trees, and they used it as plates. And they started to get out their lunches. What do they nowadays? They say the tiffin. Get out their tiffins. So Krishna sat in the middle, and all the cowherd boys sat around him with their various lunches. And they began to open their lunches and put it on the leaves or the flowers or the barks of trees. And they were all constantly looking at the face of Krishna. And Krishna was reciprocating with each and every one of the cowherd boys. While the calves were nearby, eating the soft grasses, they were beginning to start their lunch. So they would take out the various things they had brought in their lunch, and they would see what each other had, you know. And they would trade something for this and that. And they would eat something and they'd say, "Oh, this is really good, try this." And then they would give it to the other boy and he would try it. And they were having joking exchanges and they were laughing. Krishna was laughing, right? And one boy said, "Here, taste this." Another boy tasted it and he said, "This is terrible, your aunt doesn't know how to cook." And everyone would laugh, right? And one boy, he took some jasmine flowers without anyone else noticing. He stuffed them inside a samosa. And he gave it to another boy. "Here, taste this." He started to eat it, and then when he started to taste the bitter taste of the jasmine flowers, he laughed, and everyone laughed, and he started to beat the other boy away, playfully. So like this, they were laughing, enjoying their lunch. And the demigods were seen from the higher planets. And here it is, the personality of Godhead, Yajna Bhuk, who enjoys the oblations of the Vedic sacrifices, right? Who only eats these oblations of the Vedic sacrifices. That's his enjoyment. And here he is, sitting with a bunch of boys, right? Laughing and joking and eating half-eaten food, right? Lord Brahma was also witnessing this. Lord Brahma had seen that Krishna had killed Agasura, and he heard that this was the personality of Godhead. But yet he was thinking, "How is it so? Or let me test him," he thought. The Lord Brahma was thinking in this way. Now, while the boys, they were enjoying themselves. They were enjoying themselves. One time, a bumblebee, came in front of Krishna. And Krishna shooed him away. And he said, "Go drink from Maru Mangal's face." Krishna had this boyfriend named Maru Mangal. He was a Brahmin. All the rest were Vaishyas. But he had one Brahmin boyfriend. His name was Maru Mangal, who was very funny. He used to like to eat ladus. So he told the bumblebee, "You go to him." So the bumblebee came in front of Maru Mangal, was flying around, and Maru Mangal said, "Hey, he might bite me. Don't send him over here." And then he told the bumblebee, he said, "Listen, if you bite me, you'll be guilty of having killed a Brahmin." He told the bumblebee, and everybody laughed. So in this way, they are enjoying their pastimes in the forest of Vrindavan. And just then, when the boys looked up, they saw that the calves, the small boys, up to the age of 5, they're in charge of the calves. And the calves had wandered off deep into the forest. And the boys became afraid. And Krishna could sense that they had become afraid. But immediately Krishna said, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'll go and find them." So Krishna went into the forest, walked away from the boys, and he had a lump of prasadam in his hand, foodstuffs. It was yogurt, rice, mixed with some fruit, walking into the forest, in his left hand. He couldn't find the calves. He looked and he couldn't find them. And then he came back to the spot where the cowherd boys were, and they were also missing. So Krishna immediately understood what the situation was. Brahma had come and taken the cowherd boys and the calves, right? And had hidden them. So, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on all these verses of this pastime of Brahma stealing the boys and the calves. And many of his comments, Srila Prabhupada incorporated in his commentary, some not. So, one of the things that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, and Srila Prabhupada also mentions, is that Brahma couldn't really steal Krishna's personal associates. Right? Because just as Radharani, when Krishna wants to enjoy from his Lundini Shakti, from his Yogamaya potency, he expands into the form of Srimati Radharani. And in the same way, Krishna's cowherd boyfriends also expand for his enjoyment. So, just as Prabhupada mentions, just as Lord Ramchandra's wife, Sita, could not be stolen by Ravana. He took a Maya Sita, as mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a Maya Sita. Right? In the same way, there was a Maya bunch of boys and calves that Lord Brahma actually took, but not Krishna's personal associates. So, now Krishna thought, if I go back to the village without the boys and the calves, their mothers are going to be in anxiety. So for the pleasure of the mothers of the calves, as well as the mothers of the boys, and Lord Brahma, to kind of teach him a lesson, he expanded himself as all of the calves and all of the cowherd boys, as Vasudev expansions. So, there they were again, sitting, having their lunch. It was getting late. They packed up, and Krishna, as the leader in front of all the calves and all the cowherd boys, went back to Vrindavan. So, when Krishna expands himself, he does everything very perfectly. Right? Each and every one of the boys had the same face, the same voice, the same attitude, the same clothes, the same ornaments, the same ropes for controlling the cows, the same stick, the same buffalo horns, right? Everything ditto, same. Right? When they got to Vrindavan, all the cowherd boys went to their different homes, and the calves went to the various cow sheds. And even before the cowherd boys arrived, their mothers became so enlivened that their son had come home, and they immediately rushed to receive their sons, Sridham, Subal, etc., all the cowherd boys, friends of Lord Krishna. And they were so affectionate towards their children that the mother's milk immediately began to flow from their breasts, and they began to breastfeed their children, their boys. And then they bathed them, and because when they go out in the forest, the cows kick up a lot of dust, so they're kind of covered in dust. So they bathe them, and then they decorate their bodies with tilak made with cow urine for their protection, and fresh cloth. And they were in great ecstasy taking care of their children. In fact, their affection increased for their children. And the same way with the calves. When the calves went into the cow sheds, the cows immediately came and began to lick their body and allow the calves to suck the milk. So like this, Krishna expanded as the calves and as the cowherd boys. was interacting. And this went on for almost a year. And then just 5 days before a year was up, the Cowherd boys, who were actually expansions of Krishna and Balaram, were at Govardhan, nearby Govardhan. And all the cows were on the hill of Govardhan. So Balaram was noticing. This is just 5 days before a full year was up. Actually, Balaram wasn't there at the killing of Agastura, or the lunch, or when Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys, because it was his birthday. And Mother Rohini and Yashoda had kept him back because there were some special ceremonies that they wanted to perform on Balaram's birthday. So he wasn't there. Right? So he didn't know anything about this. And Krishna didn't tell him. Krishna kept him in the dark. Right? So nobody can keep Balaram in the dark except one person, Krishna. He can keep Balaram in the dark, but not for long. Because Balaram, he saw that the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill, when they saw their calves at the bottom of the hill, they became so attracted that they immediately ran from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. Even though the road was very rough. You know, if you've been to Govardhan Hill, there's so many, you know, from the top to the bottom, so many big boulders and stones. It's not very smooth. But the cows didn't care. They ran like anything for their calves. So Balaram was observing this. And even though the cows had new issues, they had smaller calves, and the cows and the calves that they became attracted by were already old enough just to eat grass. They no longer sucked the milk, right? And they had smaller calves, but still they were attracted by these calves more and more. And they were allowing them to suck the milk, and they were licking them, so much so like the cow was going to swallow the calf, right? With great affection. So Balaram, he's observing this. Right? And then the cowherd men from on top of Govardhan Hill, they're shouting, "Hey, hey!" Because the idea is that to keep the cows and the calves separate so the calves won't drink all the milk. Right? But yet the cows had broken away. And the cowherd men were both angry and they were embarrassed. They're embarrassed that they couldn't control the cows. That's their duty. That's their job. Control the cows. But they couldn't do it. So they also came running down the hill with their sticks and shouting, "Hey, hey!" And when they got to the bottom of the hill, they saw their sons, the cowherd boys. And all of a sudden, they became overwhelmed with affection for the cowherd boys, their sons. They began to embrace them. They began to smell their heads. Right? And they forgot all about their anger that the cows had come to the calves. Right? So Balaram, he's observing all this. And then the cowherd men went off to walk into the forest. And as they were thinking of their boys, tears were coming to their eyes. So now slowly Balaram is beginning to understand what's happening here. But not right away. And the question is, well, why didn't Krishna tell his older brother? He's Dauji. He should confide in him everything. Why didn't tell him? Right? What is this? Right? So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers that the reason why he didn't tell him is that he didn't want Balaram to feel separation from his friends. Sridham, Subal, Sudama. These are Balaram's, you know, caste friends, caste admi, right? Close friends. So how will he be separated from them? Krishna, actually, he never was separated, because when he made the Maya boys, the real boys, he kept at another place. And he was always with them by his expansion, so he wasn't separated. Right? But Balaram was. So Krishna covered Balaram over with his yoga maya, right? So that he couldn't figure out what was going on, so he wouldn't feel the separation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so attached to their devotees that they can't be separated for even a moment. But then, Balaram slowly began to understand. Not immediately, Krishna slowly removed his yoga maya. In what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in four different stages. So I thought I'd just read from that commentary. It's interesting. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Sar Artha Darshini. It's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Balaram is the elder brother of the cause of the universe and his dear friend. So Krishna should not have deceived him. Though Krishna should have revealed everything to Baladev before this, he did not, because he did not want Balaram to suffer any separation from Sridham and his other friends for the period of a year. Krishna himself did not suffer from any separation because he was close to them in an expanded form that searched for the calves. Balaram did not appear in any expanded form during this pastime. Then after a year passed, when the Lord desired, Yogamaya gradually withdrew her cover from Balaram. It was done gradually so that Balaram could take the viewpoint of the devotee and also to immerse him in the ocean of the Lord's power. As Yogamaya relaxed the first part of her influence, Balaram thought about the wonders he was seeing. Quote, "It astonishes me how the mothers have the same love for their sons as they previously had for Krishna. It was also amazing how Balaram himself was experiencing the same love he feels for Krishna upon seeing those boys." So this was the first part of Krishna removing his yoga maya. When he saw the relationship going on between the cows and the calves and the mothers and the boys, and he himself was feeling more attracted to the boys, like being attracted to Krishna himself. As Yogamaya removed the second part of her influence, Balaram thought for a moment about this and invoked his power of omniscience to understand the cause of his surprise. Balaram considered, "It is definitely a display of mystic power of Maya. But what kind of Maya, and who caused it? Is it the Daivi Maya of the demigods, like Brahma appearing as boys and calves to test their ability to attract us to them? Are these boys not really Sudama and others? Is it Nutty Maya created by some sages who are testing their knowledge by assuming the forms of the boys and calves? Is it some Rakshashi Maya employed by the demons like Kamsa, who, failing to kill us by their strength, have resorted to some trick to kill us by disguising themselves as the boys and calves?" So Balaram was thinking in these different ways. As the third portion of Yogamaya dissolved, Balaram again considered, "The mystical change must have been caused by the Yogamaya potency of my master, Krishna. Though other potencies cannot bewilder me, even I cannot check the power of Krishna's Yogamaya, which is filled with pure knowledge. On the other hand, the Mahamaya of my expansion, Mahavishnu, who creates the Mahatattva, easily bewilders Brahma and others. So then Balaram got it, that this potency could only be Krishna's potency, because only Krishna's potency could bewilder me. Thinking thus, Balaram tried to understand it by the eye of transcendental knowledge. By Krishna's will, the fourth portion of Yogamaya departed, and Balaram was able to see that all the boys and calves were expansions of Krishna's. So then Balaram went to Krishna and he said, "You know, I think all these calves and cowherd boys, they're your expansions, right?" And Krishna said, "You know, you're right." But then he explained the whole thing, how he was in the forest, and Lord Brahma wanted to take away all the calves and the boys, and just to teach him a lesson, and to, you know, show mercy to the elder gopis and the cows. I expanded. So he explained the whole thing. Then Balaram was okay. He could. Sometimes Krishna has to pacify Balaram in various instances. Like the time when he wanted Duryodhana to marry Subhadra. But Krishna wanted Arjuna to marry Subhadra. So Arjuna was living near Dwarka, disguised as a sannyasi, living in one Lord Shiva temple. And he was coming regularly to the Dwarka palace, and disguised as a sannyasi. And Subhadra was there serving him. And gradually he became attracted, she became attracted. And then Krishna said, "Just take her." So one day, Arjuna grabs her brother and took off. When Balaram came to know, because he wanted her to marry Duryodhana, he said, "Call my armies, call my chariot. Who is this Arjuna, upstart? He's going to finish him." But Krishna fell at his feet and, my dear older brother, please, it's not like that, it's okay. And he pacified him, calmed him down. So Krishna has that relationship with Balaram. So then, again, exactly 1 year later, Krishna was... Lord Brahma came. Actually, Lord Brahma, he only was gone for a moment, because he knew that Krishna was his master. And although he was testing him, he knew that if he became upset with him, it wouldn't be good. He's playing with fire here. So he came back with just a moment by his time. But a moment calculated by Brahma's time is 1 year by earthly standards. Because Brahma lives for a very long time. Brahma lives for the total duration of Satyayuga, Tretayuga, Dwarparayuga, Kaliyuga, multiplied by 1,000. So that's a very long bit. It's Brahma's one day. So his one moment is our 1 year. Even if Brahma was gone just for a moment he supposedly hid the calves and the cowherd boys, 1 year passed. So again, it was Balaram's birthday. Krishna was alone. Balaram was back at the village having the ceremonies. He was wandering. Again, he was with his cowherd boyfriends and the calves. And Lord Brahma came there on the spot, and he saw again the same small boy with the yogurt, the rice, and the fruit in his hand, left hand, eating. But he saw that here's all the calves and all the cowherd boys are here. So then he thought, how is this? They're back there. I got them in the cave. They're asleep by my mystic powers. But here they all are here. Well, then who do I got back there, he thought. And he became bewildered. He tried to use his mystic potency on Krishna, But by his own mystic potency, he only became bewildered. And then Krishna, to further help him understand, while Brahma was seen, the calves, the cowherd boys, they all turned into four-armed forms of Vishnu. All of them were as brilliant as the sun. And they had dark forms, the color of a full monsoon cloud. And they had beautiful earrings, right? And yellow garments, right? And they were very attractive. Their chest had beautiful jewels marked with the Sri Vatsa and the Kostuba gem, all of them. So Lord Brahma was becoming, he saw this manifestation and he was struck with wonder. It was awesome to behold the power of Krishna. And just as Krishna expands himself as a Paramatma into every living entity, in the same way he had expanded himself into the form of the cows, the calves, and the cowherd boys. And then Brahma saw that the 24 material elements were part of these forms. They were with these forms. All of the universe, all the moving and non-moving living entities were dancing to the glories of Lord Vishnu. So Lord Brahma became more and more awestruck by the situation. So remember that Srila Prabhupada, at this time, when he was translating this part of the Bhagavatam, he was very ill, right? And devotees were coming. I happened to be there at that time. And my particular service was to go and every day chant for Srila Prabhupada in his quarters in Vrindavan. And you only used one small kirtan and keep a very soft kirtan. Not like today's kirtan in Guru Puja. Soft. Prabhupada liked it soft. One small, this big kirtan. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's the way Prabhupada liked it. So we were chanting, and many things were happening at that time. Srila Prabhupada was, now I didn't understand it, but Srila Prabhupada knew he was getting ready to leave. I thought that Prabhupada's never going to leave, he's always going to be here. But he was also, you know, working on these translations of the Bhagavatam. So I thought I'd read one here. One verse that Srila Prabhupada translated during that time. Particularly about the forms of Vishnu. Translation. Then Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Sangskar, reformation, kama, desire, karma, fruit of activities, and the gunas, three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnu murtis. Purport. No one but Vishnu has any independence. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and that everyone else is his servant. Akale ekale Ishwar Krishna ar sabhabritya. Be one even Narayan or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Even Balaram is subordinate to Krishna. That this is a fact. Ekale Ishwar Krishna ar sabhritya yare yachi nachai se taichi kore nritya. One should understand that no one is independent For everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Yastu narayanam devam brahma rudradi daivatai samatvainaiva vikshete sapashandi bhavedivam. A person who considers the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayan or Krishna. Krishna is Narayan and Narayan is also Krishna, for Krishna is the original Narayan. Brahma himself addresses Krishna, Narayanas Tvam Nahi Sarvadehinam. You are also Narayan. Indeed, you are the original Narayan. Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 14. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Swabhava, Sangskar, Kama, Karma, and Guna. Swabhava is one's own nature, is formed according to the association of material qualities. Karanam guna sango syat sad asat yoni janmashu. Sat and asat svabhava, one's higher or lower nature, is formed by association with the different qualities, namely sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. We should gradually come to sattvagun so that we may avoid the lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text 18. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajagun and the Tamagun are subdued so that only Sattvagun remains. Then Rajagun and Tamagun cannot do us any harm. Varnashram Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvagun. Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Lobhaya Daschaye. Tamogun and Rajagun increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in the material world in many, many forms. That is very dangerous. One should therefore be brought to Sattvagun by the establishment of Varnashram Dharma and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning, and seeing Mangalarti, and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattvagun, and then one cannot be influenced by Tamagun and Rajagun. Tada rajas tamo bhava kamav lobhaya chaye cheta etair anadvidham stitam sattve prasiddhati. The opportunity of this purification is the special feature of human life. In other lives, this is not possible. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan, devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vifale Janama Koinu, indicating that unless one worships Radha Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam. Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 2nd, Text Number 7. By engagement in the activities in the service of Vasudeva, one very quickly renounces material life. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudeva Bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas. So much so that people are surprised that Malechas and Yavanas are able to come to this stage. This is possible by Vasudeva Bhakti. But if we do not come to the stage of Sattvagun in this human form of life, then, as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Vipale Janama Koinu, There's no profit in gaining the human form of life. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the importance of rendering devotional service, hearing about Krishna's pastimes, just as we're hearing about Krishna's pastimes now, so that we can fulfill the purpose of this human form of life. The human form of life is meant to give us an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. And all of the things that we do in devotional service are to facilitate that. Like now, Janmashtami is coming. It's one of the 64 items of devotional service is to celebrate Janmashtami, right? So that we can get a lot of donations and earn a lot of money. No. The Janmashtami is there so that we can think about Krishna. We can celebrate his appearance and organize a wonderful festival, right? So that people will come and glorify Krishna and think of Krishna and be benefited and fulfill the purpose of this human form of life. So celebrating Janmashtami, following Ekadasi, these are things that support the main purpose of devotional service. The main purpose of devotional service is to develop Krishna Bhakti, to have devotion. And we see Srila Prabhupada's life exemplified that. Prabhupada wanted us to sit and discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. I remember at one time, there were devotees that were leaving. They were leaving the movement. And this was maybe 1974, 75, something like that. And word came to Prabhupada, this devotee, in those days, they said, looped, right? And Prabhupada, they asked Srila Prabhupada, what happens when a devotee leaves? And Prabhupada said, he goes back into the material world. And it sounds like this, bloop. So the terminology that came for a devotee that left the temple and went out into Maya was that he blooped. He blooped. So a lot of devotees were blooping. And Srila Prabhupada was very concerned about this. You know, even they had taken Brahman initiation. So Srila Prabhupada said, the reason they're leaving is that they're not reading the books. They're not understanding the philosophy. Therefore, they're leaving. So what I want you all to do now, he said, he sent out a letter, is that, you know, you have one class right after another. Have a 45-minute class, then a 15-minute break, then another 45-minute class, and then a 15-minute break, and do that throughout the day. Have as many classes as you possibly can. So the devotees will understand the philosophy and then stay strong in Krishna consciousness. And we did that for a little while. Then we had to get back out on Sankirtan. So there was another thing that I wanted to read to you from Srila Prabhupada's purports. Gee whiz. Where is that? Oh yeah. This particular verse, it talks about how the Vishnu Murtis that Lord Brahma was observing, they were garlanded with tulsi, head to foot. They were covered with tulsi. Right? So Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the word Bhuri Punyavad Arpita is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities for many births and who were constantly engaged in devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Bhakti devotional service is the engagement of those who have performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities has already been mentioned elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami says, this verse is just one chapter previous, where Shukadeva Goswami describes about the cowherd boys and how fortunate they are to be playing with Krishna. Itam sattam brahma sukhanubhutya dasham gatanam param daivatena maya sritanam naradar karena sakam vajaru kritapunya punya Those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as the cowherd boys. Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he qualifies this word, Budi Bhunyavad. It's not exactly like mundane pious activities. It's activities that are in relationship to Krishna. Of course, activities in relationship to service to Krishna is also pious, but it goes beyond that because it's transcendental, because it's in relationship to Krishna. So the cowherd boys had that position of being Krishna's friend because they had done heaps and heaps and heaps of activities in relationship to Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to say, in our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected, but now it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is a sign of Budi Punya. That's pretty esoteric. Now, you know, actually when Sarabhi Swami was making the temple, he said that, you know, we got to cut down this tree. This is where the temple's going to come. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's a tamal tree. Prabhupada said, don't cut it. He said, and he argued with Prabhupada, well, you know, the foundation, the roots, and so many engineering kind of factors he mentioned. Prabhupada said, no, don't cut it. Keep the tree. So Prabhupada's mentioning the same tree here in his purport of the Bhagavatam. Actually, when Srila Prabhupada was sick, when he still had some strength, he would get in his palanquin and the devotees would carry him to the temple just after the Bhagavatam class, and he would sit under that tree and he would have devotees do kirtan, right? And he would sit and look at Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaurani Thai for like an hour or so while the devotees did kirtan. And one time Brahmananda tells us how that the tree was not doing very well just after the temple opened. And it was kind of drying up. So they went to Prabhupada and told him that. This must have been early 75, 76, something like that. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, here's what you do. The water that you use for cleaning Krishna's paraphernalia, you know, keep it in a pot and put it on the tree. Well, you know, they would clean with ashes in those days. They didn't have vim powder, and set, you know, or if they had it, we couldn't afford it. So they just had ashes from the 5 o'clock cooking, and that's how they cleaned the paraphernalia. So that water, every day they would go and dump it on the tamal tree, like Prabhupada said. And they saw that after about a month, the tree became healthy, began to flourish. Right? So who knows? Srila Prabhupada knows. Who is that tree? Why he's saying it's an example of Puri Punya? Only Prabhupada knows. We don't know. Now the next verse, it's described how the Vishnu forms, those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Purport. Those Vishnu forms bless the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resembled the increasingly full light of the moon. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling, Their smiles resembled the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees, and the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, rajagun is passion, but in the spiritual world is an affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajagun and tamagun, but in shuddha-sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is the transcendental. Right? So, no, it's rajagun. This affection in the material world is rajagun. And rajagun percolates quarrels and animosity, right? That's why husband and wife, they're always fighting, right? Rajagun affection, right? But that affection there in the spiritual world, it's not like that. Krishna's shuddha-sattva, pure goodness, the affection is different. It increases the desire, the sidelong glances of the Lord increases the desire of the devotee to serve the Lord, to be with the Lord, and to render him all types of services. So it's, you know, there's two different, they're both metals, gold and iron, but there's a big difference between gold and iron, although they're both metals. The word svakartananam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami comments that because the desires of devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of rajagun and tamagun, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus the word svakartananam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, in Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desire, quote, let there be a temple and seva, devotional service, unquote. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki. So just by Srila Prabhupada's desire, well, desire for what? Desire that there be devotional service to Krishna. Right? What goes on in Vrindavan? Somebody told Sarav. You know, Sarav donated that land. Mr. Sarav donated the land. And so Srila Prabhupada had a desire. What? Desire that there be a place where Krishna would be served, right? And that place, as we see, by Srila Prabhupada's desire, has become a place of pilgrimage. Yeah. At that time, Ramanreti was like way out. No one went there. You couldn't get a rickshaw from Loy Bazaar to take you to Ramanreti. If you told him you were going around, no. No one wanted to go. And if you were out in Ramanreti, forget it. You'd never get a rickshaw. Right? You had to walk in the Loy Bazaar. Right? Nobody went there. In one sense, that was pretty good because it didn't. Nowadays, it's much too crowded. Mm-hmm. When all the Deliwalas come down for Sunday, you can't even find a place in the temple. Right? Why? Because the people sense something's going on here. There's so many, 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Why are they packing into Krishna Balaram Mandir? Why? Right? Because of Srila Prabhupada's desire. It's a place where people can go and hear the holy name of Krishna, take prasadam, see the Lord beautifully dressed. That was Prabhupada's desire. And Krishna fulfilled it. So if we have any, the point is that we're stuck in rajagun, so our desires are tinged And things don't exactly work out the way they do for Srila Prabhupada when he has his desires. So therefore, we should couple our desires with the desires of Srila Prabhupada. What he wanted, we should want. And then we'll always be protected from our own association with Rajagun and Tamagun. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that we can dovetail our desires with his for spreading Krishna consciousness, and we'll always be protected. Hare Krishna. So that ends the pastime. Lord Brahma delivered back the cows and the calves. He again saw that they were with Krishna, and he became completely, thunderstruck. Krishna removed the yoga maya so that he didn't see the Vishnu forms anymore. And he saw the trees and the Jamuna waters and the sand of the Jamuna. But he was so overwhelmed. It's kind of like he almost died. Lord Brahma almost died from the experience they had of Krishna's yoga maya. It was more than he could handle. Right? So Krishna removed the yoga maya from Lord Brahma. And then Lord Brahma fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna. His helmet touched the feet of Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says he got up and he's got four helmets. So he got up and bent down four different times so each helmet would touch Krishna's lotus feet. And his eyes were filled with tears, right? Overwhelmed. And he wiped his eyes, he wiped the tears away, and then he began to offer prayers to Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmastami ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.